Well, good morning and welcome to Open Lines on the Evan Bray Show, 1-877-332-8255. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning. We just did a pulse of the people. Okay, my math skills are bad. I was trying to keep track of the callers, of the categories while we bring you on the air. So multitasking, maybe not my forte. I said we had 17 callers. We actually had 19. 19 callers. Of the 19, 89% voting conservative. This is a very official poll. I mean, we do it in a defined timeline. We open up the phone lines and we just take you in the order that you call in. So 5% liberal, 5% NDP, 89% conservative as a result of our poll. Now, people on the text line weighing in with their thoughts on that. Lots of good jabs going back and forth saying, someone said, hey, that's a pretty predictable poll in Saskatchewan. Why don't you call people in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver to see what happens? Well, we don't broadcast there. I mean, we could. And you're right. Different parts of the country. I mean, we see that, right? We know that Ontario is likely going to have some strong liberal votes, for example. BC, I would argue, is a little more up for grabs. In fact, if you look at the recent polling there, it is a close race. So given the margin of error, it's too close to call, which could make things exciting in this election. Because if it's close, we may not have an early decision before the West votes are counted. BC, as our panel pointed out here this week, BC could play an important role in helping decide which way this election goes. So it's interesting. Nonetheless, 89% of the callers, maybe not surprisingly, in our province, and as someone pointed out, given the demographic of our listenership, yeah, fair enough. Although I look at the text line, I listen to the calls every day. We do have people that are supporting the Liberals, do have people supporting the NDP. We hear those calls, and that to me is what fires up some of the great conversations that we have on the radio. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are officially open. Mia Holowaychuk, who is a reporter from our newsroom at CKOM in Saskatoon, is at the Pierre Poilievre Media Conference right now. And this morning, some great conversation was happening in the newsroom, because what happens is, if you follow the media scrums, essentially, Pierre Poilievre will likely come out. He'll give a statement. And then reporters all get a chance for a question and sometimes a follow-up. So your one question, you want it to be a good one. And that was what was being debated this morning in the newsroom. What should the question be? What should Mia ask? You want something that stands out, something that gives some new information, something that makes the person you're asking think. So there was some really good brainstorming. It makes me wonder, what would you ask? If you're standing in the scrum with Pierre Poilievre this morning, you've got a microphone and you've got one question. What's the question? What do you ask Pierre Poilievre? 1-877-332-8255. We'll have Mia pop into the studio here once she's done with that and give us a bit of an update as to how that goes. So what would you like to talk about? Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. Again, 1-877-332-8255. It's your time, and we'll start with Gary in Saskatoon. Good morning, Gary. Happy Friday. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, first off, I phoned the Conservative constituency office, and they tell me that during the election they have reduced hours. I'm thinking if you're an important time like this, you'd expand your hours. But that's besides the point. I think you have Tom Gorski on the other day, and he brought up that Purby report.
Right.
From I think the Conservatives need to take that in the very last moment when they have the most people they think listening. I think they should bring that up, because that's high official liberal.
Right. Sorry, you're cutting out a little bit on me, Gary. Sorry, Gary, you're cutting out a little bit. But I will say, you're right, Tom Gorski talked about it. We talked about it yesterday a bit with our federal election panel as well. Privy Council's report on essentially what Canada might look like in 2040 if we don't see some changes doesn't paint the best picture. Some people arguing it's been taken out of context, but at the end of the day, you could read the report and decide for yourself. There's some quite descriptive language in there that doesn't paint the best picture for Canada. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of calls coming in. I would love to hear your thoughts on... I threw out the question. Pierre Poilievre has got a media conference going this morning. If you were standing there with a microphone, what question would you ask him? I'd like to know that. We extended an invitation for him to join us on the show, which is what we did with Mark Carney and Jagmeet Singh as well. Timelines are tight, and when they make visits into provinces like this during the final days of an election campaign, often can be challenging to get them on. So we haven't been able to get a response, but Mia will be down there, and we'll be talking to them as well. Let's go to Paul, our friend Paul in Connecticut. How are you, Paul?
Oh, my God. Evan, I'm voting for Neil Young and Brian Adams. Who else? I would ask him, how much is your administration going to coordinate with the Trump dictatorship, the unlawful deportations without a judicial intervention, the ask papers, and if you don't have papers, you're arrested. How many more things? The deportations are the big thing. And I really am afraid in the election up there, because we need a sane neighbor without any of this hype.
Well, I think you've got conservative. I think you've got a sane neighbor up here, regardless of who gets elected. I feel like I can give you. We're not jumping in and following word for word, line for line, what Donald Trump is doing. Is that your fear?
Well, it's not reported. I mean, we have organizations that collect funding for a political opposition group now being targeted with Department of Justice investigations.
But Paul, this is all the more reason for you to move to Canada. You keep telling us you're going to.
You remember our first call. I am a fleeing American.
Well, that's why we would welcome you up here. 1-877-332-8255. All right, I want to grab another couple of calls here. Audrey in Martinsville. Audrey, I kind of threw it out earlier. I said, if you had a microphone in your hand, you're standing in front of Pierre Poilievre, what question would you ask?
What I would ask is, what will you do for seniors? Our paychecks that we get, old age security, and is just barely covering.
Mm. It's your buying power is going down with a rising cost of living.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you been impressed with anything you've seen? Any of the platforms when it comes to how it's going to address cost of living?
Have I been impressed?
Yeah.
I'm looking for change. I am tired of what we've had for the past 10 years, and I'm certainly wanting, a different view on everything. Mm-hmm. Immigration, another thing is health. You know, what is going to be done with that?
You know, thanks for bringing up healthcare, because I think, you know, Audrey talks about health. What is going to be done with that? We talk about that a lot on this show. And healthcare predominantly is a provincial jurisdiction. But it did come up, if you remember, in the federal debate. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think my takeaway was, why don't we focus on transferring more cash federally to the provinces and let the provinces deal with healthcare? As soon as we get the federal government trying to bring in programs, it gets heavy with bureaucracy, and it's taking funding away from provinces that they could be putting to whatever their priorities are. So, you know, I mean, I've said before, I think the universal dental care, or what they brought in with regard to dental care, is a step in the right direction. But in many ways, wouldn't it be good if there could be some sort of a policy that allows provinces to step and lean into that, along with some transfer payments? And I've seen texts on the text line that have been echoing that feeling as well. 1-877-332-8255. I'll grab one more call before we take the break. I want to go to Russell in Saskatoon. Good morning, Russell. What's on your mind today?
Oh, yes. I just want to talk about this two-bit poor excuse for media we have in this country. Last election, Andrew Scheer, they were on his back, and just, oh, how terrible the man is, because he had dual citizenship. Mr. Carney has three passports. Mm. not a word to say about that. Like, yeah, he really cares about Canada, doesn't he?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. We had a conversation about that on the show the other day, and Russell, thanks for bringing it up, because, you know, some people are frustrated about how much has been made by the media or reports that have come out about Mark Carney being from the West. As we know, Pierre Poilievre is too. In fact, last night in his rally, he talked about the fact that his parents were married in Saskatchewan. He's got those Saskatchewan roots. He was raised in Calgary. So, you know, at the end of the day, where you were raised, if you want to bring up Mark Carney, let's also look at Pierre Poilievre as part of that discussion as well. Thanks for bringing that up, Russell. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I've still got a couple of calls I want to get to. On the topic of federal election, there's also one here with regard to some civic politics in Saskatoon. Open lines continues until the bottom of the hour here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. People are feisty this morning on the text line. I like it. It's causing some smiles. Paul from Connecticut called in earlier. Paul's called in a few times to the show. Paul's getting beat up on the text line. Dave says, speaking for the 90% of the callers on the survey that you did this morning, we don't need any more Pauls here. 1-877-332-8255. By the way, the survey that he's referring to is we did the Pulse of the People, a snapshot of voters in the province. We open up the phone lines for a couple of minutes, and we just simply ask, which party gets your vote? 89% of the callers this morning said Conservatives, 5% Liberal, 5% NDP. Very official, by the way. So here's one of the questions that we threw out this morning is Pierre Poilievre right now is in the middle of a news conference. We have Mia Holowaychuk there from our newsroom. But if you were a reporter there, you were given the microphone, you were given one question, what would you ask? Dylan with a text saying, my question is, he recently decided he was going to include ending woke policies. I would love to know what those woke policies are, Dylan in Saskatoon. Tal in Bigger, do you believe that a licensed gun owner should be able to own any firearm they choose? That's the question Tal would ask. My question for Poilievre, this is Marie in Weyburn. Does the Conservative Party have a plan to pay down, at least in part, the national debt? Love that question. Sorry, that was Welwyn. Murray from Welwyn. I love that question. I've been asking that question myself. Kevin in Assiniboia, are you in favor of an elected Senate? Here's another text. What about changing equalization payments? These are great questions. I would love to hear the answer to every one of those questions. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tom, in Choiceland, you've got a microphone. You got Pierre Poilievre's attention. You're asking him a question. What are you asking about?
Well, I'm asking about, like, disability because I'm disabled, right?
Okay.
And I only make $13,000 a year. That's total. And so when I got my guy to do my income tax for me this year, he says to me that I can't use any of my medical or any of my doctor's appointments, any of my trips or nothing. I can't use any of my medical because I only make $13,000. You have to make $20,000 before you can use any of my medical. Well, don't you think that's wrong? Maybe it should be $18,000 a year.
I would love to hear his answer to that, Tom.
Right, because like I only make $13,000 a year. Well, you got to make $20,000 because then you can't apply for the tax credit, the disability tax credit.
Right.
Well, I only make like $13,000. Well, I can't make $20,000. So,
yeah, you're pinched in a spot there, Tom. Listen, I appreciate you calling in. You are a regular listener and caller, and for that, I'm appreciative. And thanks for bringing up the point. I got Ross Elder in Viscount, who is a regular texter. I got Colleen in Buena Vista, who is a regular texter, basically both saying people should give their heads a shake and vote for the Conservatives. If you're thinking to vote elsewhere, you are not doing our country any good. I've summarized their text, but basically, if you love Canada, you'll vote for the Conservatives is essentially the text messages that we've got from both Ross and Colleen. Okay, open phones means we can talk about whatever you like. It doesn't have to be the federal election. We've got a situation that's brewing in Saskatoon with city council, and I have a sneaking suspicion that's what Corey wants to talk about. Thanks for calling in, Corey. What's on your mind?
Hey, been a business owner in the Fairhaven district for 10 years. And I just think there's more to this Councillor Pierce story than what we're hearing from the newsroom. There's a big problem over there, and it's not being taken care of.
In Fairhaven. Are you talking about
India? I want to say there's more to the story here than what's being presented.
So what do you think? So this is the story, just to bring everyone up to speed. Ward 3 Councillor Robert Pierce voted in this last election, represents Ward 3, which is Fairhaven. And we know, we've talked about on this show, the number of challenges, problems, crime, things that have happened there. Many people point at the timing has been very, very closely aligned to when that emergency shelter was stood up. So he was recently removed. The decision was made to remove him off of a couple of committees that deal with homelessness and a strategic area lead on housing and homelessness in the committee or in the city because of some conflict between him and STC President, Saskatoon Tribal Council President Mark Arcand. So, Corey, I want to come back to you. What do you think? You think there's more to the story? Do you have an idea what's going on?
No, I don't even know who Councillor Pierce is, but I know that we asked for change in the area, and this individual, this councillor, is asking for questions that I think need to get responded to, right. And then we have some of the people that didn't get changed out of City Hall, and removing him from the office, and I just wonder why there's such a big pushback towards the questions he asked, because they don't think they're off base.
You know, Corey, thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. Corey's got a vested interest. He's a business owner in the Fairhaven area. Here's the thing about this, because I've been thinking about this loss. When I heard that I know Robert Pierce, I've had him on the show a number of times. I know Chief Mark Arcand. I've had him on the show a number of times. Both great leaders, great professionals. The thing is, City Councillor Robert Pierce was elected in Ward 3 predominantly by a bunch of people that want answers to questions and want solutions to problems that have been going on for the last 2 to 3 years. And so he was put there for the specific purpose of addressing some of these issues. Tough issues like this, complicated issues like this, they're not easy. They're often tough conversations. But they can still be done in a respectful way. Yes, I know at SUMA, Councillor Pierce asked the premier a couple of questions. Number one, are they reducing the number of beds in Fairhaven? And number two, will you consider replacing the operator, which is Saskatoon Tribal Council? At the end of the day, I'm not convinced this decision by City Council was the right one to remove him. It seems to me that not just him, but certainly the people in his area of the city have a vested interest in this. Was that the right decision? I don't know. So, Corey, thanks for bringing it up. By the way, don't forget we got Bugs and Hugs coming up after 10. So if you want to jump in on that conversation, you're welcome to do so as well. Changing gears coming up. It is our monthly check-in with RCMP leader, Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore, coming up after 9:30 here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME. When all it does, it's alone. Making our way through a beautiful Friday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here, and had a great first hour of the show. Thanks to everyone that joined in on the conversation, open lines. We talked a bit about Pierre Polyev, the fact that he's holding a media conference this morning. Again, we have Mia Holloway-Chuck there, and we'll have her, once that's done, she's back to the station. We'll have her pop in studio and share how that went, and overall, the visit to Saskatchewan, successful? Question mark? Mia will let us know how that goes. Very quickly, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this during 10 o'clock and during Bugs and Hugs, but boy, what a good event last night at Prairieland Park. Foundations Learning and Skills Saskatchewan had lit up. It's an event they have. It's a fundraising event presented by BHP. You know, this was a great event to illustrate the incredible work they do at providing advanced learning opportunities, not just for children. I mean, children obviously benefit, but adults do as well. Families do as well. It's improving literacy, including things like financial literacy, electronic communication, all of those things. There were some great testimonies last night by both volunteers who volunteer for the program and students, both young and old, who have benefited from the program. Foundations Learning and Skills, absolutely incredible. I was there as one of four inexperienced rookie auctioneers. And I promised you yesterday we would try and roll a video so that I could get some audio for you of how disgustingly terrible I was at auctioneering. So we'll give you a chance to listen to that coming up after 10 o'clock during Bugs and Hugs. It'll become a bug for somebody, I'm sure. All right. On a monthly basis, we like to check in with our police leaders in the province, and we bring in the chiefs from both Saskatoon and Regina. We've talked with Pat Noje, the chief in Prince Albert, and we regularly talk with Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore, who is the head of F Division in the Saskatchewan RCMP. And I'm happy to say we have Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore joining us by phone from her office this morning. Assistant Commissioner, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for having me.
I look at a day like today, which is beautiful, and we're going to have a beautiful weekend. But I also remember from my policing days that warm, beautiful weather also can sometimes bring about a different aspect of busy for police. The weather can play a difference in things, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. Last week was National Telecommunicators Week, and I was speaking with my Operational Communications Center personnel, and they described it as July and April.
Yeah.
They've been so busy lately.
The warm weather, I know. I mean, no different than we have different types of crime in the middle of winter than we do in the middle of summer. But the trend lines are there. Let's talk about that. Where are things at? Here we are towards the end of April. What are crime stats looking like? Some of the pressures, some of the trends you're seeing, Assistant Commissioner Blackmore, in the province?
When we look at the first 3 months, like January to March, excuse me, year over year, we are seeing actually some, I would call them slight decreases. A property offense is down maybe 4%. Those violent crimes, we have seen a bit of a decrease in some areas. They're holding fairly steady. Some areas are up. Some incidents like uttering threats and some forcible confinement, we've seen some increases. But our homicide numbers have actually dropped from last year to this year. Last year, between January and March, we had 15. And January to March this year, we're at 7. Although the RCMP does provide our major crimes investigations on homicides to other police agencies. So there's been 12 total that we've been investigated, but only 7 of those have been in RCMP jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was often asked questions about crime stats and why do you see them move one way or the other. I know you and I've talked about it on the show. There is a frustration in rural Saskatchewan about thefts, about those types of property crimes. Is there a worry when you see a decrease that it's a decrease in people reporting it?
Always, we want to make sure that people are reporting it, and we hope they are. In some cases, you know, these are January to March, right? So you look at January of last year, you just mentioned the weather, much milder. January to March this year, much colder. People tend to stay in, including the criminals. They don't really like being out in bad weather. So there's lots of factors that could factor into that. And we always have to be careful with percentage changes, right? They can sound really big, but, you know, if you had one incident and then you have two, that's 100% increase. But maybe it's still not a crisis situation.
Right. So we've seen a lot of social issues manifest themselves in our big communities, Saskatoon and Regina. Certainly, we talk about it all the time: homelessness, mental health, drugs, suicides. We've talked about that before when we've had you on the program. But I'm curious, what does that look like in your communities, the communities that the RCMP serves? Let's take something like homelessness. Is it a big issue?
I think it is a a big issue, not to the same extent in numbers-wise, for sure, what you would see in Regina, Saskatoon, or even Prince Albert. But you have to remember, in a lot of our communities, they're remote, and they don't have access to the same services that might provide some of those assistance pieces to that homeless community. When you look at some of the services, I know you and I were at an event recognizing Mobile Crisis not that long ago. Well, we don't have those services in a lot of those remote communities, so it's left to the police to try to deal with some of those issues that may have been handled by some support agencies that aren't always available in some of our communities in RCMP jurisdiction.
Is there, I guess, a case to be made that having those services in your communities might further reduce the crime and the police response that your members have to make?
I think it would reduce overall numbers, and, you know, not necessarily, you know, they're not going out stopping criminals per se, but I do think if you can tackle some of those really complex issues of addictions and poverty that lead to homelessness and lead to drug trafficking, because the traffickers are going to the spots where they have a market for it, and unfortunately people with addictions issues provide that market. So if those root causes are not addressed, it continues to manifest itself in criminal behavior by others taking advantage of some of those vulnerable populations. So having some of those support services available to support those individuals, to maybe help them to find a way out of a life of addictions or whatever their issues may be, it certainly is a massive benefit to policing overall.
Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore is my guest, Saskatchewan RCMP. Just yesterday on the show, I had a guest who is from the States but has a company that specializes in using data analysis and artificial intelligence to do great work on human trafficking. It's actually quite groundbreaking. While that conversation was happening, of course, we got texts in on the text line, and many people are asking, how prevalent is human trafficking in Canada and in Saskatchewan? Can you answer that question?
For sure. And I think one of the misconceptions, the biggest one that we see, is that it doesn't happen here in Saskatchewan. You know, we don't have the Torontos and the Vancouvers and Montreal. And unfortunately, it does happen here. We've had a couple different incidents in the last year or so that are human trafficking or trafficking response teams were made aware of human trafficking situations. We had an individual who was charged last fall as a result of human trafficking. So I think we have to just, you know, not be naive that it is happening here. Maybe not as prevalent as in some of the big cities, but it certainly is happening here. You know, when you look for some of those signs that you could see, you know, an individual who's doesn't have access to their ID or a passport or a cell phone, you know, under the age of 18. About, I would say about a year and a half ago, our members down by Swift Current stopped a speeding vehicle in the middle of the night. And it was an individual, 14 years old, driving the vehicle, who had been trafficked out of Hamilton, Ontario. So we always have to remember, criminals travel and they make their way across the country. So we have to be aware of that and be cautious and recognize that it's happening here in Saskatchewan as well.
You know, one of the things that we talk about with my guest yesterday, an expert in human trafficking, is, you know, we think of human trafficking, I think a lot of people assume the sex trade, and that is obviously a big part of it. But there's lots of other ways, lots of other industries in which workers are trafficked or illegally moved from province to province. Do you see that angle on it as well?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in the summer of 2023, we charged an individual for human trafficking, and that was a result of forced labor at several Saskatchewan restaurants. So as you say, it can have many different faces, and I think, you know, just people being educated about it and making sure that they're aware of it. Next week, there's a great sessions called the Madison Sessions that's happening in Saskatoon, and that's led by country singer Paul Brandt. He has an organization called Not In My City, and his Madison Sessions are in honor of a young lady by the name of Madison Fraser, who lost her life as a victim of human trafficking in Alberta. And our trafficking response team members will be there and will be presenting on what they're seeing in the province here. So a great opportunity to get the information out that we can't turn a blind eye to it, and we can't be naive to think that it's not happening here, because it is.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We will be back with more. Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore is my guest, Saskatchewan RCMP. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you back. If you are just joining us, we're having a conversation. It's our regular monthly check-in with Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore of Saskatchewan's RCMP. Now, inevitably, we're having these chats and people will text in with different questions. I got one here, Assistant Commissioner Blackmore, from Tom in Saskatoon, questioning about, so you have those ALPRs, those automatic license plate readers. Tom is wondering, why won't we place those strategically throughout the province on highways, overpasses, things like that, to help out in investigations? I think he's thinking of, you know, you had the James Smith tragedy, vehicle theft, Amber Alerts. So having those ALPRs throughout the province strategically on fixed locations, would that be helpful?
Well, you know, it would have limited helpfulness, I think. Our ALPRs are on all of our traffic vehicles. So technically they are placed throughout the province because our traffic members travel throughout the province. The thing with placing them stationary is that you would need someone monitoring them to be of benefit, in that because you're looking at a point in time, and we can't retain that data indefinitely. You know, there's privacy implications. There's only a limited amount of time that data can be retained. So it's essentially a moment in time that's telling you this vehicle was here at that time. And if there's no person to respond to that, you know, there's maybe potentially a benefit. I'd say it would be minimal. But overall, having our members, when a vehicle is noted via those license plate readers, they see right away, oh, that's a unlicensed driver, or that's an unregistered vehicle, they get that information immediately and can pull that vehicle over. That's the benefit to having it on those cars.
When I had you on in March, after we were done our discussion, I noticed a text from David Nipowin, so I want to squeeze it in today. He basically is just asking, there was some recommendations that came out from that inquest that happened into the James Smith Cree Nation incident, and he wondered, have you followed through with some of those recommendations? And I think specifically he's wanting to know if anything has changed with the RCMP regarding warrant execution in the province.
Most definitely. And we followed through on every single recommendation. You'll recall that there were some jury recommendations that came out of those inquests, but then there were also some specific recommendations from the coroner that followed up in addition to the jury recommendations. And we have followed up on each one of them. And to give you an example of some of the changes we've made with when it comes to warrants, we've really focused on trying to staff up some of those teams. Our warrant enforcement and suppression team has gone from a 35% vacancy rate to now well below 20%. So we've got more people out there working on executing those warrants. There was a recommendation about our detachments getting a wider list of warrants, because normally they would just hold the warrants for their detachment area, individuals that they had dealt with or charged. So now they get the list expanded for the whole province in RCMP jurisdiction, just to have better situational awareness so that they're aware. All of those warrants are on CPIC, but they may be aware of an individual who may not have been run on our CPIC, as our Canadian Police Information Center. So when they run a name or a plate and there's something attached to that, it comes up in that system. But just knowing someone's in a community, they can be aware that there might be a warrant. And then there was also a recommendation with respect to our First Nation communities, that if an individual from that First Nation had a warrant out, and as long as it didn't compromise in an ongoing investigation, that the leadership, the First Nation leadership, should be aware of the wanted status of that individual. So we now have the opportunity to provide the list of individuals who are on warrant status to our First Nation leadership and to our other communities, our mayors. If they're interested in receiving that information, our detachment commanders have that and can share that with them. Because once an individual is charged, once they're on warrant status, that's public information. So we're just making it more More information sharing, I guess, better information sharing so that they are aware of who in their community has a warrant, because sometimes they're individuals, you know, another set of eyes or ears, and they hear things in the community that they can share with us and hopefully lead us to apprehending that individual.
Talks always go by so fast. Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore, we always appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much for your time today.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
As we head into the 10 o'clock hour, it is your weekly opportunity for Bugs and Hugs, 1-877-332-8255. A full hour dedicated to what's on your mind, good, bad, or otherwise. We'd love to hear from you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.